This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our sustainer. La ilaha illa hu. None has the right to be worshipped except him. Ya Allah, we submit ourselves to you. We have left our businesses, our families, the dunya we've left behind purely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah bless us in this hour of Jumu'ah and grant us forgiveness for our sins this week and the week to come. And we send our love, our greetings, our salutations to our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his family, his companions, to all the anbiya, and all those who follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam till the end of time, may we be from amongst them on the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. Alhamdulillah, it's good to be back. It's good to be back here at Burhanul Islam Masjid. And the series, The Diseases of the Heart, I thank the Mashaykh, Sheikh Yusuf Hasib and Sheikh Wasfi Sal, Sheikh Ashik Hill, who came and took the series forward and basically, you know, began it and took it to where it is today. Alhamdulillah, I hope it has been beneficial and it has been well received. Alhamdulillah. Insha'Allah, today we continue on the series, The Diseases of the Heart, to discuss a matter which affects and afflicts all of us. We said these diseases of the heart, each and every one of us, we all have a heart. And every single organ in the body is susceptible to becoming sick and weak and ill. And therefore Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there is one organ in the body. If it is pure, if it is saved, the entire body is safe. And that is the heart. And similarly, if that organ has become corrupted, the entire body is corrupted. Therefore, look to the heart and see that it is nourished and fed and it is kept healthy. Some, and we're not talking here medically healthy, that too, alhamdulillah. We're not talking here about the sugar and the what we eat, but rather the spiritual heart, which ultimately is the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge us accordingly. We discussed in the previous week's envy, pride, I believe, not fearing Allah and losing hope in Allah. But this is really the topic which I should have began with. We should have began. I don't want to force our guest speakers what to speak on, but this is the topic. Had I began, I'd have began with ignorance. Because this is really the root cause of all diseases. And it is for this reason, the cure to this disease is the very first commandment of the Quran, Iqra. Iqra, read. That the heart itself, when we talk about the heart spiritually, it's an organ which purpose is to receive guidance, understanding, and to direct the actions of insan. When this organ has become blinded, when it is ignorant, then the entire actions and the being of this person is lost. But before we talk about ignorance, let's start with knowledge, the opposite of ignorance, to show us the position that knowledge has in our deen. That we are a deen of knowledge, a deen of ilm, a deen based on belief, yes, but belief grounded in knowledge. And it is one of the things, if you look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you look at Allah's system in His creation, the thing which Allah values the most is that of knowledge. Knowledge is the one thing that counts a lot with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not wealth, not strength, not power, but knowledge is power. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know our position, we know this creation from the stars and the planets. Do we know that there are more stars in this universe than there are grains of sand on the earth? More stars out there than there are grains of sand on the earth. And each one of those stars, like the sun, which is an average star, 1 million earths can fit inside it. So this earth is really not even, to say a speck of dust is an exaggeration. It's way, way less. So what about us? We feel, and this is this universe, then we have seven samawat above that. And on top of the food chain, we imagine that the angels are right on top. That they come and they go as they please, Allah's command, that they have a personal relationship with Allah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us our position, insan. When Allah says, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ, Allah says, I intend to put on the earth, not man. Allah says, what? Khalifa. What is the Khalifa? Khalifa is the substitute of the one in power. The one who will represent. So Allah says, I will put my representative on earth. My Khalifa on earth is man. We do supposed to stand, not instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but do the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what's expected of us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us our position in the universe when He said, Kul ya Adam, أَنْبِيُهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ O Adam, inform the angels about the names of these things. So Allah asked, we know the story, asked the angels with regards to some knowledge. And they said, سُبْحَانَكَ لَا إِلْمَ لَنَا We have no knowledge of this. We can't comprehend this thing. We can't answer the question. So Allah told Nabi Adam, you answer the question. And Nabi Adam, of course, could answer the question. And when he answered the question, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the angels, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ We know in this deen, no one makes sujood to anyone except Allah. Only Allah is deserving of sujood. Here Allah tells the angels, make sujood to Adam. What did Adam have that the angels did not have? What made him worthy of sujood? The angels were more powerful physically, were more beautiful, they could fly, they are almost immortal. Whereas insan, we will die. Angels live for almost till the end of time. What did Nabi Adam have that the angels did not have? Knowledge. Allah shows that the one with knowledge is on the more knowledge you have, the higher on top of the pyramid you are in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more knowledge you have, the higher up you are in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before He commanded action, before He said, believe in me, worship me, know who I am, Allah commanded us with knowledge. In Islam, knowledge comes before action. There can be no action without knowledge. So Allah says in the Quran, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Before you can believe that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah, Allah says, فَعْلَمْ Know, realize, understand. Have the knowledge that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah. And then ask for forgiveness for your sins and also for the believing men and the believing women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I said this is the sunnah, in the samawat and in the ard. In this dunya and in all the other samawat, knowledge is something which will elevate one person above the other. We said that if someone walks into the room and he has the PhD or he's the professor, everyone listens to him. He's the most qualified. Knowledge, we realize, is something over and above wealth and power and status. We won't remember the names of the wealthiest men on the earth, but we remember the names of great scientists and great scholars. So Allah says, Allah will raise the status of those who believe among you and those who are given ilm, darajat. This is a principle in the law of Allah, that the one who has knowledge will be raised levels up above that which who does not have knowledge. This is not only applicable to Islam. This does not only apply to Islam, that you will raise up darajat in Jannah, in the dunya as well. The one with knowledge will always have the top seat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us, if Allah intends good for somebody, if He really wants to do good, give you goodness, He won't give you, it's not about wealth and power, He will give you an understanding of the deen. He will give you sound Islamic knowledge. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, whoever travels in the path in search of knowledge, listen to this hadith, it's not about being the alim or the mufti. Some of you may think we're talking only about ulama, Imam Shafi'i, I can't get there. Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, whoever aspires to learn knowledge, whoever tries to learn knowledge, even if it's once a week, one book that you are reading, one lecture you're listening to in the traffic, you are in that process searching knowledge. The talibul ilm, the one who searches for knowledge. So Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, he doesn't say the ulama, he says the talib of ilm, the searcher, the seeker of knowledge. Whoever travels in a path searching of knowledge, then Allah will make easy for him the path to Jannah. And verily, while he's searching for knowledge, the angels lower their wings to the seeker of knowledge. They submit to the one who is learning knowledge. Verily, the inhabitants of the heavens and the earth, even the fish in the depths of the ocean, will make istighfar, O Allah, have forgiveness for this person. Verily, the virtue of a scholar, the alim over the abid, over the man who worships night and day. Who is better? The alim who learns and teaches, or the one who worships the night and fasts the day? The difference between the two is like the moon and the stars. Meaning the alim is like the moon and the abid is like the stars. Verily, the scholars are the inheritors of the anbiya. They take and they follow the footsteps of the anbiya. This is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi saying this. Because the anbiya don't leave behind any gold or silver. What do they leave behind? They leave knowledge. And the ulama take from that inheritance. The next hadith, subhanAllah, first time I came across this hadith, this when I was doing research for this lecture series. And This is a hadith which should be very well known. I mentioned it to some of my friends and I said, SubhanAllah, I've never heard this hadith before. And they're like, where have you been? This was like first year in Medina. One of the first hadith we learn is this. I said, I must have been absent that day. But SubhanAllah, we're learning all the time. Alhamdulillah, look at this beautiful hadith. Nabi SAW says, the superiority of the scholar over the worshipper, the one who learns over the one who just worships for himself, is like the like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam over the least amongst you, meaning the least of the Sahaba, the lowest Sahabi. The difference between Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the lowest of Sahabi, both are good, but obviously you can't compare the two. Verily, look at this. Verily, Allah Himself and His angels and the inhabitants of the heavens and the earth and the insects, the ants in their hole, even the fish in the sea, they send salam and salawat on the one who teaches people to do good. The teacher, the acquirer. Allah sends salam to the one who teaches and learns. Well, SubhanAllah. Even as I said, in the secular world, you will realize that knowledge is power. Look at history. The most powerful nations in the world are those nations with the highest people with qualifications per capita. The countries with the most universities and libraries almost always are the most powerful places in the world. Because with knowledge comes power, physical, military power, influence, success, wealth. All the other blessings come with knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that to whoever has the knowledge. Even if you're a disbeliever. But you have the knowledge, you have the power. This is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our strength in the past was because we had the most advanced, one of the reasons, we had the most advanced systems of learning. There was a time when the kings of Europe would send their children to Spain, when Spain was a Muslim country, to Baghdad, to learn knowledge, not Islamic knowledge, but to learn science and technology. That's when we were in the golden ages of Islam. So if this is what knowledge does, and how great knowledge is, and knowledge puts you on top, even above the angels, what does ignorance do? I begin with knowledge to make you understand, if this is how great Allah views knowledge, how does He view ignorance? Where does ignorance put you? Where does jahl put you? How bad and detestable is jahl in the eyes of Allah? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did Allah give man? Allah gave insan an intellect. He gave insan the ability to reason above that of the animals. Allah gave insan the ability to think and to be more than just this physical. We could achieve above what we had. Why? The power of our intellect. So when someone is jahil and he's given to ignorance, he has thrown that organ away. The worst of the worst. And it leads to all kinds of sins. When we talk about jahl, and this is what ignorance is, jahl. Many people here would know, you'd say, it's a jahil, right? A jahil, right? This is sometimes people use this term. Jahala is an Arabic word which means ignorance. And we heard this term, many will speak about the time of jahiliyyah, the age of jahilism or ignorance. What does this mean? We know it means the time before Islam. The Arabs, before Islam came, they lived in an age of ignorance. They had no guidance. What was it like living in a time of jahiliyyah? We know, for example, when Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu's brother, when he spoke to the king of Abyssinia, he explained what his people were like before Islam came. He said, we used to kill one another for no reason. We used to steal from each other, hate one another, fight one another for no reason at all. The color of our skin, family names, honor, our parents, great-great-grandfathers, one, you know, they argued over a sheep. 100 years later, we are still fighting and killing one another. We buried our own children alive, our daughters alive. We would buy and sell our wives like we buy and sell our, like sheep and cattle. When a man died, his brother inherited his wife as well. We would make tawaf naked. We would eat anything. This is how we used to live. And we, of course, we used to worship idols and stones and anything, we used to worship it. This was before Islam. We ask, how does a human go to that level? These people were not any less intelligent than us. Sayyidina Umar is a genius, yet he himself was in that boat. Why? Because jahl, ignorance reaches a certain level and that person loses his humanity completely. That is why they lived in an age of jahiliyyah. SubhanAllah, I said, people ask if you want to understand what jahiliyyah is like. Maybe if you go to the worst prison on earth and you spend some time with the worst of inmates on earth, that is really what jahiliyyah is. A person that has no feeling of humanity in him left. No remorse, no compassion. He does as he pleases. As Allah says, they are like an'am, they are like animals. Balhum adal, they are worse than animals. This is how the Arabs were before knowledge came to them, before Islam came. So in other words, the age of jahiliyyah is before Islam. So it should really be the age of kufr, of disbelief. But rather we see that ignorance is sort of an opposite to Islam. That these two things don't go together. Ignorance and Islam, cannot coexist. If someone is drenched in jahilism or ignorance, then there's very little left of his Islam. So let's unpack this concept of jahl. Do we, and we should ask this question, do I suffer from this? And as you must have learnt in the previous lectures, you have extreme pride, like the pride of Iblis, where he's completely drowned in pride. But most of us, if not all of us, we have bits of it inside of us. Not all of it, there's good and bad. So we need to ask, is there any jahl in me? Any ignorance? What do I mean by jahl and ignorance? There's two types of ignorances here. Simple ignorance, which really means to be unaware, to lack information. And in this regard, it's not something bad. We are all ignorant about something. I'm ignorant when it comes to, you know, fixing a car. I'm ignorant when it comes to you know, nuclear physics. I'm ignorant when it comes to farming. Whatever, no one can know everything about everything. What this means, when we say ignorance here, he's jahl, meaning he's unaware, he's uneducated with regards to this field. And it's not bad, because all of us have a degree on that. So we're not talking about this kind of ignorance. We're talking about compound ignorance, which is a state of mind, which is a way of thinking. And we give an example of the someone that lacks basic sense. We give an example. You go to a nursery school, you'll find white children, black children, Indian children, all playing with one another. No concept about racism. But you find the professor, educated, PhD, he's racist. Which of the two is ignorant? The child is uneducated, yes, but that professor is more ignorant. His senselessness, his state of mind is more ignorant than that child. This is what we mean. It's a state of mind. It corrupts the way you're thinking. How does ignorance reach that level? That's our question. So with regards to simple ignorance, we ask first thing, this is the easy one to tackle. It's lacking information. If you lack certain information, as I said, we are not required to know everything about everything. Not all of us have to be engineers or lawyers or doctors. Not all of us have to be, know what's happening with regards to the car. But there are basics, are essentials, which every single person needs to know. There are essential knowledge, there's essential information every single one of us must know. And if you don't know that, then it is bad. Like, what things do I have to know? There are certain Islamic things you must know. There are certain secular things. And I've said that there's no difference. When we say secular, it's only to understand when we say dunya sciences. There's no such thing as secular sciences. Science belongs to Allah. There's all of it is Allah. Deen and science. But just for our understanding, there are certain Islamic knowledge you must know and certain dunya knowledge you must know. For example, you can't not know that the world is round. If you still know that you still think the world is flat, there's a level of jahl. It's unacceptable. With regards to the deen, essential for each and every one of us, we need to know who Allah is to a certain degree and understand tawheed and shirk. And I said so many times, how many of us, when we say, what does la ilaha illallah mean? He will say, la ilaha illallah means that there's only one God. So this is incorrect. It's not right. La ilaha illallah means that there's none worthy of worship except the one God. Very big difference. Very big difference. The difference is Jannah and Jahannam. But we don't know this. Do we know the requirements of salah? What invalidates salah? What can we leave? When do we make sujood sahu? This is the miftah of Jannah. We have to know this. We have to know how to recite the Quran. We have to know the pillars of Islam and Iman. Not in detail, but how much must I give in zakah? What invalidates my fast? What was regarded, do I have to know who my Nabi is? You have to know something about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Essential knowledge. And you have to know certain things which affect you personally. What do I mean by that? You don't have to learn the rights and duties of being a wife or a husband. But the day you get married, you need to know it. It's essential for you now. You don't have to know what Islam says about being a parent. But the day Allah blesses you with a child, you need to know that. You don't have to know, all of us, we don't have to know what is regarded as halal and haram in terms of business transactions. But the minute you run a business, you deal financially with things, then you are accountable. So each and every one of us must look at our lives and ask, because Allah will ask us, do we know essentially what is required of us? There are certain things we can say, Ya Allah, I didn't know that, I wasn't required to know that, walhamdulillah. But you cannot say, Ya Allah, I never knew that this breaks my salah. I never knew that this was haram, I couldn't eat it. This is haram, I shouldn't have done it. Subhanallah. Very flimsy place. And I ask this not as an insult, not to offend anyone, but do we really think our madrasa education, which stops at grade 7, is enough to teach you about these essential knowledges? If a person comes to your business to work at your organization and he comes with his CV, he says, I stopped going to school after grade 7, we say, Subhanallah, you know, I won't even pay you to be the, you know, to sweep the ground maybe. That is the level. So you're basically illiterate if you come with a grade 7 certificate. But this is what we expect, is the enough knowledge will get us to Jannah. It's not enough. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, it's not enough. And as we see the age that we live in, Jahl is spreading exponentially. On your phone, you'll receive information that is contrary to sound thinking. Your kids will receive it. Things that you didn't have to address before, it will come. We need to constantly be an ummah of learning. And we'll see things get better, inshallah. So this is essential knowledge. Each and every person must assess himself. Do I know enough? And wallah, alhamdulillah, you have access to knowledge so easily. There are thousands and thousands of lectures, of books, free of charge. You can access it on your phone, on your television, on your computer. You can access it, making it a learning tool. What people had to take to travel thousands of kilometers, you can get now with a touch of a finger. It's available to all and each and one of us. So this is with regards to simple ignorance, and it's a journey that everybody must take constantly to learn. Do I know what I'm supposed to know? Can I answer these basic questions of Islam? But what we're talking about more specifically is the compound ignorance. The ignorance of the mind that leaves one senseless. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an example of this level of jahl. This kind of almost insanity. This kind of thinking that is no longer, you can't think a human being thinks like this. So Allah says, gives an example of this in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we took the Bani Israel across the sea. We saved them from the Fir'aun. They saw the Red Sea opening up. Then they came upon a people in devotion to idols. So then they came across the Red Sea and they saw people worshipping statues and stones. So they said, oh Musa, make for us a god like they have a god. We want a god like this. Yet they saw the Red Sea opening up. Allah destroyed Fir'aun. So Nabi Musa said, indeed you are a people behaving قَوْمٌ تَجْهَلُونَ. You are behaving ignorantly. You have lost all sanity. You are not thinking correctly like a person anymore. This kind of jahl is a mindset. And let's give examples of this today. You just need to open the newspaper and you see this kind of senselessness in the dunya. How does somebody kill his own parents or his children? How does somebody, as I said, worship stones and sticks and graves which they made? Their own hands, they built it. And then they ask this thing for assistance. How is it possible? How is it someone sees someone jogging and they rape and kill this person? How is it somebody walks in a park of children and blows it all up and thinks, Allahu Akbar, this is for Allah's sake. What went wrong here? Something must have gone wrong up there. A level of jahl where you say, there's no humanity left. This is what shaitan is pushing all the time. Because once we fall into that hole of jahl, everything becomes easy. Then every sin, jahl is the doorway to all kinds of sins. And the Quran speaks about these kinds of extreme levels of jahl. Extreme levels of jahl, which we need to watch out for. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says one of them, O you who believe, why do you say that which you do not know? Most hateful in the sight of Allah is that you say that which you do not do. Why do you say that which you do not do? So people speak, especially Islamic, we must talk about this, with regards to Islamic knowledge. people speak about Islamic knowledge even though they don't have Islamic knowledge. So the ulama mentioned this person, they call Jahl Murakkab. A person who is ignorant and he knows, I don't know. So I know I don't know anything about, you know, cars. I'm not even going to try. I take it to the mechanic, you know best. Doctor, you know best. I'm not going to try and treat myself. This person, his jahil is okay because he knows I don't know. But the one who thinks he knows when he really is unaware, this person is in grave danger because he will never learn and he will never improve. Another example which, subhanAllah, we are afflicted with today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the people of Nabi Lut, do you indeed take men with desire instead of women? Rather, you are people behaving ignorantly. You have lost all sense, all way of thinking. You have lost yourselves completely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to the women. And Allah says to the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the women, and abide in your houses and do not display yourselves as the display of jahiliyyah. Do not dress like the way of the women of jahiliyyah. Now the women of jahiliyyah dressed better than many of the women do today. Allah says, basically, how can you walk naked in the street? What in your mind? I've given you an akal, better, you know, you didn't need to be educated to know this. Your fitrah, your basic humanity should have led you to understand this is not appropriate. So Allah says this is a level of jahiliyyah. This is an example of a jahiliyyah of the mind. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, at the approach of Qiyamah, knowledge will be uplifted, knowledge will be removed, and ignorance will descend and become widespread. And when that happens, you will see a lot of haraj, meaning killing, rampant killing, murdering, violence, to the point where the killer, if you ask him, why did you kill this man? He'll say, I don't know. And if you ask the killed person, why did this man kill you? What did you do? He'll say, I don't know. I was just playing in the park. I was sitting in my class and khalas, I was on the bus. What led to this level of insanity? Jahl, ignorance. Nabi Sallam says, when knowledge is gone and ignorance spreads, killing will come with it. Another example of close to the end of time, and subhanAllah, we are living in these times, among the signs of the hour are the following. Knowledge will decrease and ignorance will prevail. And then you would see widespread fornication and the drinking of alcohol will be common. In fact, it's wrong to say the drinking of alcohol. Khamr, just a side note here, khamr doesn't mean alcohol. If you look at the Quran, Allah says to the females, take your khumur, your head covering, and cover your body with it. Khumur is that which covers the head. And therefore, khamr was called khamr. Why? Because it removes the intellect completely. It takes away that higher level that makes you a person, that makes you human. Khamr, drugs, takes that away, so you back down to the level of an animal or worse. That's why it's called khumr, because it completely removes your akal. It puts you directly in a state of jahiliyyah. That is why when someone's intoxicated, they can do anything. You say, how could you do it? When he comes to his senses, he'll ask himself, how could I do this? How could I rape my grandmother? Wa'iyadu billah. And we've seen this. What has led to that? The absence of akal. Ignorance to that level of compound ignorance. And today, with just smoking one substance, you go straight to that extreme level of jahiliyyah. This is the dangers that we live in. So what are the cures? How do we... And these are extreme cases. And I know most of us, alhamdulillah, we hopefully don't suffer from these extreme cases. But all of us are not sufficiently equipped with knowledge. All of us, knowledge is a learning process. To solve simple ignorance is a constant learning process. To learn more and more and more. To never stop learning. This applies to your deen and your dunya. Continue to learn new things. Continue to learn. Learn for the sake of learning. This is what made our deen great. Our ummah was great when we learned for the sake of learning. People learn things not because they wanted wealth or power from it. They learn just to exercise the mind. And when they got the knowledge, Allah gave them the dunya as well. That's how it works. So learning should be part of your daily life. Where do you begin? People ask me, I want to learn now, but Islamic knowledge, I didn't pay much attention, madrasa. I just know the basics. Where do I begin? Not learning is never easy. It requires effort. Always, as another sunnah of Allah, no one is born with knowledge. The children of the Anbiya, the children of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did not receive anything from their father in terms of knowledge when they were born. Every single person starts from zero. It requires knowledge, it requires effort. We said this before. Why did Jibreel squeeze Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said Iqra? We know the story when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first day he received the revelation, Jibreel squeezed him, read. And he's Nabi, so I can't read, to the point where he said, I almost felt like I was going to die. Why? That was the price Nabi had to pay for knowledge. It requires effort. Everyone, if you want to learn, like exercising any muscle, it requires a little bit of effort. So learning will not be easy, but it's something that you can learn to enjoy. So where do you start? I personally feel, and this is something which has worked for many people, the easiest science to learn, which you will enjoy learning and you'll benefit so much, is learning the biography of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Learn the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Learn his companions. There are books out there. There are many, many books out there. But if you want to listen, like for us, we don't have time to read, but we have time maybe in the traffic to listen. I advise you, there's a lecture series by Sheikh Yasir Qadi on YouTube, or just Google it. 100 episodes, the most comprehensive English lecture series on the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I've challenged many people, just listen to 10 episodes. And if you like it, continue. If you don't like it, stop. Many people listen to the end. And there are some brothers who actually tried it. Speak to them. It will change your life. You will learn through a story. And you will come out after that series a better Muslim, inshallah. So if you want to begin, begin with that. So that's learning. It solves your simple ignorance. How does it solve compound ignorance? A person who is so deep in jahiliyyah and he wants to come out of it. There you need guidance. And Allah is the only custodian of guidance. Only Allah can give that hidayah to the heart. But Allah teaches us that through learning, He might give guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who have been given knowledge, they might know that this Quran is the truth from their Lord. If you learn, inshallah, Allah will give you guidance. But if you don't learn, you're not going to get the guidance. So part of solving the problems is to start learning. Other advice we know, Allah began. Where did He begin? He began with Iqra. And this is really the solution to all the problems of the dunya. Even a non-Muslim, President Bill Clinton once said that the cure, the silver bullet to curing all our problems in the world is education. When you have education, you will see automatically poverty will decrease, crime will decrease, violence will decrease, social problems, unemployment will decrease, everything will decrease once there's an increase in education. We know this, we see this today. That's the answer to so many of our problems. Just like ignorance is the root, the first cause. Iblis, another side note, Iblis's first sin was what? Not pride. He had an incorrect assumption. He said in his mind, I'm made of fire, he's made of clay. I must be better, I must be superior. He was jahil in that. But he did not look to incorrect his jahilism. He persisted on that and he became cursed. He did not look to educate himself and say, Ya Allah, I don't know. You know better. Forgive me. No. He became arrogant with his ignorance. When you combine the two, arrogance and ignorance, this is what let shaitan be who shaitan was. If you learn, inshallah, and you continue to learn, Allah also gives you advice. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ The true worshippers of Allah, they walk on the earth easily. They work without pride or arrogance. And when إِذَا خَاطَبَ الْمُجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا We will constantly be faced with ignorance. Someone may say something ignorant to you about the way you look, about the color of your skin, about your religion. How do we respond? Allah says, when that person who is drowning in jahl, and you are, alhamdulillah, raised a little up, you have more sense, more akal, how do you respond to that jahil? Qalu salama. You can't make a blind person see, a blind person of the heart see. Salama, peace be upon you. When someone confronts you with jahl, then leave him. Imam Shafi had this great saying. He said, I never met an alim, except that when I debated him, I beat him. And I never met a jahil that I debated with, and he beat me. Right? You can't debate with a jahil. As they say, he will bring you to his level and defeat you with experience. So when you are confronted with jahil, ignorance in this dunya, say, Alhamdulillah, Allah, you have granted me the ability to see that this person, he can't see that he's wrong. He can't see that what he's doing is evil. He's blind. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave you that hidayah. Make dua for him rather than to be angry with him. And then lastly, to remember, Jamaatul Muslimin, all of us, at times, we will slip in and out of jahl. We will lose our iman, as the hadith says, for a moment, and we'll slip into ignorance, and we will not think clearly. So Allah says, innama tawbah, that repentance is accepted by Allah, is only for those who, when doing wrong in ignorance, when their mind slips away, they lose themselves, they lose that higher level of thinking, and they slip into ignorance, they repent soon after that. They come back to their senses and they say, Subhanallah, how could I have done that? Ya Allah, forgive me. It is those, Allah says, to whom Allah will turn to them in forgiveness. And Allah is ever knowing and wise. So we ask Allah, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana. Oh Allah, don't let us lose our guidance after you have guided us to it. Do not turn our hearts after you, do not deviate our hearts after you've given us guidance. وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً and grant us mercy from you. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَابُ, you are the one who gives and bestows. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ, may Allah protect us and forgive us, and may Allah return us to be an ummah of Islam away from the age of jahiliyyah. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. Inshallah, next week we continue with our series on the diseases of the heart. Alhamdulillah, we also like to announce that our classes, Tuesday night classes, are beginning once again. This Tuesday, 6:30, insha'Allah, the life. This is also a seerah class. If you would like to attend and learn about the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you like to see things live, Alhamdulillah, you can attend free of charge. We're open to males and females. 6:30 to just before Isha, insha'Allah, please attend. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa salam al-muslim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.